Here we are in question and answer period for lecture two. And what did you find out? What did you find out during our lecture just passed now? What sort of ideas came to your mind? Did you find out that your body wants to be loved?
Yes.
Your body wants to be appreciated as the ideal complexion?
Yes.
The ideal body?
And you have to see it.
Yeah, yeah. And does your every organ, action, function of your body want to be appreciated in the same light?
Yes.
And do we want to say to ourselves, I like me?
I like me.
I like me. It's so simple. And it covers everything.
Yeah.
And most of the time we say, I don't like me. Oh, why is it?
I don't like me.
Why me, O Lord? You know, yeah. Why me, O Lord? Yeah, and so silly. It's so silly. We can put the right cause in motion. We can put the right ideas in motion for ourselves. And we can accomplish anything we want. But we don't do it.
And the world is good as it is. The world is good as it is.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because everything is in divine order already.
Everything is in divine order.
Yes. Not in the order me, I want it.
And I am in the world.
Yes.
I am in the world. Yes. And my environment is a perfect environment.
But
the
not of it.
The ideal environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The ideal environment. How do you get the ideal environment?
By telling myself it is so. All is in divine order.
But don't you have to know how to make it happen?
I am.
It is done.
It is done.
Uh-huh.
I am.
And it's not up to us to make it happen.
No.
We don't need to know how it happens.
Done.
Yeah. Because when we start worrying about how it happens, then what happens? We get in the way.
Yes.
We get in the way of the circuits of the divine program, and we mess it up. And we mess it up only because we don't see the whole picture. We say we want it this way, but yet having it that way wouldn't necessarily be for the total good that we want. Yeah? We have not the vision for the overall. And so if we say all is in divine order, then we let the overall vision handle that. And cause us to act harmoniously with it. And when we are caused to act harmoniously with something, then it just works out perfectly. And it does work out perfectly. Now, is Ibu Bey getting all that he can handle?
Yes,
he is. Yes, he is. He's doing just fine. Now, does he like being here? Well, yes. But why does he like being here? Because he gets cuddled? Or does he like being here because he is getting reinforcement on his inner goals for himself?
Yes.
He's getting inner.
He wouldn't...
Coming in from birth.
Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be able to define it like that. And you can't either. You can't define how your ideal program is, you know. None of us do. We wish we could. And it's a good thing we can't. Because then we'd be telling the law how to put the law into motion. And there's where we get in a big hang-up. The law works flawlessly when we get out of the way. But when we get in the way, then the law begins to work flawfully. Yeah. Now, what is the law about driving? It says drive so many kilometers per hour, right?
Yes.
Now, do you drive so many kilometers per hour, or do you feel that you can drive faster or slower? You feel you can use your own judgment. And when you use your own judgment, what do?
First, you exceed it sometimes.
Now, think about it. When you're driving and you start thinking, what should I do? Then you make mistakes. But when you're driving and you're letting the divine principle in you operate, then when you should slow down, you slow down. When you should speed up, you speed up. When you should get in a different lane, you feel I should move into a different lane. Before you go there, you look, you know. but you move into the lane that you feel you should go into. We are instructed by the divine within us for all things to do. Now, tell me how you can make that law work. How can you make that law work? It tells you inspirationally to move to the next lane. We have no idea. We have no idea, and yet we think we're so super
so
brilliant,
smart.
So smart. Mm-hmm. And what a waste we are!
But we are smart.
We are
smart. That the law is working and follow the law.
If that is what we do, if we realize that the law is functioning on our behalf,
yes,
and work with it,
yes,
then beautiful things happen.
Yes,
it is nice, it isn't it? Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, we are living in a fantastic age where this knowledge is there. But, you know, if you read the philosophical writings of great philosophers, you know, and you read Plato, Aristotle, you read all these different people, where did they get the information they got? From within.
Yes.
Where did all these arithmetic formulas come from?
Archimedes and all those people.
Yeah, you know, how did they come up with them? And other people were working with that too. Why didn't they come up with it? But some people came up with it because they tuned into it. And as they tuned into it, then it was revealed to them what the law was all about. And some people had the whole thing. And yet, those people, you read about their lives, which I don't recommend, but you read about their lives, and their lives were the most ordinary lives you could ever imagine.
Yes.
They were family people. They were at the bar in the afternoon or evening, you know.
Somewhere like Mozart.
Yeah. They were just living ordinary life,
yes.
But there was something within them that had to come out, and they had the wisdom to bring it out.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, does it make Mozart's music more beautiful to read about his personal life?
No.
Not at all. In fact, it's like a drawback a little bit.
Yes.
But the thing is, the only beautiful thing about reading Mozart's life and knowing what he did is that he was not anything special. He was an ordinary vessel through which this came. And you and I,
sure,
we're ordinary vessels, but we don't let it happen. He was music from day one.
Yes.
And his father was music and the family was music. You know, and so they had it in the family. And so naturally it was natural for him. His sister was
a
great musician, all of them. But the wonderful thing is we have some gift in us too. And you know what our gift may be? Our gift may be being ourselves and having fun, period. How would that hit you? To be yourself and have fun. How would you like that?
Yes.
Be yourself and have fun. Now, see, is that enough? Shouldn't I be doing something noble and something important?
Yeah.
Well, if you're being yourself and having fun, what's going to happen to every person that comes into your world? Every person that is allowed in your world by your being yourself and having fun. You see, when you're being yourself and having fun, nobody can come in who's going to upset your apple cart. Nobody can come in who says, yeah, you can't be yourself and have fun. Because you just won't let them.
No.
You just won't let them. You'll walk on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
And this is great.
And everybody has the opportunity.
Totally.
Everybody has the opportunity. But when we say, it's for the Joneses and it's for that, then?
Well, now, in truth, look at Bill Gates. I mean, you know, the richest man in the world, one of them. Now, look at him and look what he's doing. Is he stupendously happy? Is he living a stupendously brilliant life in every way? He's an ordinary guy, a very ordinary person. He is gifted in having been at the point of creating something at the point where its time had come for the computer, you know, and being there.
He is just making a news. He is making a news.
Yeah. But he did what he like to do.
Yeah.
He did what he liked to do. He didn't do what other people were wanting him to do. And there were people that wanted him to do other things.
Yes.
And his father, for once, you know, his father wanted him to come into insurance, and his father wanted him to finish college. And he wouldn't finish college. He wouldn't do these things. Now, not that he's right or wrong in doing it. Yeah. We don't have any judgment. All we do, he's being himself and having fun. Now, can you be yourself and have fun?
Yes.
You say, well, I be myself and have fun with millions of dollars too. Millions of dollars would be very nice. But no, that's his hiatus. That's his trouble. He has to find ways to get rid of that money.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have to. He can give it to the government and say, forget it, you know. But he has to find a way because he feels a dedication to making the money serve and making it serve good. Well, so that becomes a burden for him. That's no fun. Every day he's got to look at people who want to get money to work on their project, you know. Some projects are good, some projects are nothing, you know. So he has a staff of people who work on it. But what is his primary goal? Bill Gates was doing what he loved to do, running the company. And then he put his wife in charge of the fund. And he came home from work with a scowl on his face because he was dealing with all the problems of business. His wife came home with a smile on her face because she had helped some people do something that she felt was good. And this went on for weeks and months. And so finally he said, you know, sweetheart, you have all the fun.
Yeah.
And I'm not benefiting. We don't need the money I'm earning, you know. We don't need anything I'm doing. And I'm not happy. So he quit his job, you know. Now, that's his baby. That's what he started. But he quit it. He put it in other hands and doing just fine. You see, we have to know when to let go.
Yes.
When to let go of our baby and go on with other great things. Because all of us, we all have the opportunity to be ourselves and have fun. Now, are you being yourself and have fun? You say, oh yes, no you aren't. Not really. You are yourself and having fun when you do what you want to do. Not when you are responsible to other people for what they're doing. And like, responsible, is Faith okay? Is somebody watching out after her? Is the house okay? Is this okay? Is that okay? You know what I mean? That can become a burden.
Yes.
And I'm not saying you should get rid of it. I'm just saying get rid of the burden aspect. Hire someone to manage it for you and do what you wish. Or whatever. Or maybe it doesn't need managing. But what you want to do is, if whatever you have is a burden to you, then you find a way to have it be taken care of. Don't give it away. I mean, it's your abundance, it's your good and your happiness. But do what you want to do so that you can come and go as you wish. And then, madame, you should have an international passport, you know. What do you call these international passports where you can go to any country you want, multiple, any place in the world?
Multiple visa,
there you go. Mm-hmm. So you get that kind of passport, and then come and go as you want without ever having to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can stay as long as you want. And you can come home or not and do these things. But you see, you want to be a free spirit. And to be a free spirit does not mean that you have things that hold you, bound you, tie you down. All you guys are like that. You're all like that. Chrissy may not have as much money as she wants, but the thing is, she can be a free spirit. She can be a free spirit to come and go as she wishes. And when she chooses to do something, the money is always there.
Yes.
It's always there to do it. And Choma, she says she wants this, she says she wants that. Well, she doesn't really want any of it. And when she decides what she wants, it'll be like that. But she says she wants this and that and the other thing because that sounds interesting. Not because it is interesting. She does not want to be a professor at a university college bound to do the thing. And like you, I said, and I say to many of my ministers, you don't want to be tied to a church, have a Sunday service every Sunday, and have to have Sunday school, and having a board of directors, and having all that stuff. You don't want that. That's a bother. You are the church.
I am myself, and I have fun.
Mm-hmm. You're the church. And that way, no, can come along and make you unhappy because he has his own ideas. What you say to okay is, start your own church. Start your own church. And let him go, but not under you. Because that's your response. Under us, that's different. But under you, then you would have responsibility to the state for them. And you don't want that. At least I don't think so. So, when you're being yourself and having fun, you're just letting go of all the attitudes of mind that bind you and just flow with everything that turns you on, makes you feel great. And you can do that. Now, when are you going to start?
Now.
And have you started?
Done.
You am it. It's done. Yeah. It's beautiful. And that's the way you want it.
Yes.
Now, did Mabel come at the beginning of a good talk and have lunch too? And then have a nice lecture and then leave?
Yes.
Did she plan it well?
Her choice.
Hmm?
That's her choice.
She planned it well as her choice. Is it your choice? No. Your choice is you want to hear it all.
Yeah.
And not only from the tape, you want to hear it all. And this is great, but the thing is, every one of us gets our choice. Now, Mabel can never say unhappy things about it because it's her choice. Mabel can always say, hey, I'm a good creator. I know what I'm doing. I create well and wisely. Now, you too. Are you creating well and wisely with your hospital?
Yes.
And with all the activities? Well, now, do that. And when you create wisely and well, do not create that you have to chase after people to bring them into the seminar unless you really want to. Let them know, and if they want to come, let them come. And if they don't, who's the important one?
Me.
Exactly.
Now.
Yes.
Maybe I didn't frame it well, but I want us to address that issue.
How do we see charity and givingness to so-called less privileged? You don't. Now, Ellen is going through this situation right now. We have a man in New York who got our name from somebody, and he wanted the books, and he wanted this and wanted that, wanted the courses and stuff. And Ellen said, you don't even know who we are. You don't even know what we are. No, I want your courses. And Ellen says, well, I'll send you some of our literature. You look at it and read it over, then you tell me if you really like it. And so she sent him the literature. And then, but she wouldn't send him the books or the pamphlets that cost money. And she says, and he said, well, okay, I'll spend $50. But I want this. And she says, well, it doesn't include that. $50 includes this. And it includes the mailing cost also, because that costs money to mail it. And so $50, including mailing cost, brings you this. Well, he says, you guys are supposed to be a church. You're supposed to give money to people. You're supposed to help people. You're supposed to do these things.
Suppose by who?
Huh?
I said, suppose by who?
by whose statement, yeah. And so Ellen said, no, we help many people. We're working with prisoners, and we're doing this, and we're doing that. And we're working on all these sort of things of helping these people who don't have any money, And they're in prison, and they want to improve their life, so when they come out, they'll be good citizens. And so I said to Ellen, don't do that. This man is begging you for money. He's begging you for books. He's trying to make you feel guilty to give him books. And when you say that you're helping prisoners, or right away you say that you are helping some people,
why not him? Yeah.
I said, so never tell anybody that you're helping anybody. We know what we're doing, and we're doing it because we love it. No. What you do is when a person calls and says they want the books and they want this, and say, how did you hear about us? Well, that's nice. Well, maybe they'd like to buy the books for you so that you could have them. Or maybe you could borrow their books, you know. And, no, they won't let me, you know. Oh, that's interesting. Well, what are you doing now? Oh, I have no job. I have nothing. And I said, well, there's nothing we can do for you. Nothing. Well, why not? You know, you're a church and stuff. And I say, we are a church, but those are our rules. We can make up of it as we go along. Those are our rules. Our rule says we do not send things to people unless they pay for them, because we do not do it. Now, to ourselves, we say, we have sent things to people over the years, so much, books and stuff like that, and nothing ever came of it. They started the courses, they started it, we believed in them, we trusted them, that they were going to pay and do it. They did nothing. They didn't even write to us. And then later on, they write back and they say they can't find the books, we should send them more. And so I say, Ellen, say, oh, you can't find them. Well, when you find them, then you'll be able to go on with the course, you'll be able to go on and do these things. And I said, and then I said to Ellen, people come in, and in the early years of the course was less expensive. And so people would come now, they started the course 10 years ago, you know, and they paid $5 or something for it, you know. And then they said, can they continue at this rate that the course was 10 years ago? And I say, Ellen, no. If we think that our course is not worth what it's worth, then we shouldn't be having it at that price. And our courses are worth what they're worth, and people are going to pay. And if people pay, then people will do it. They'll follow it. There are some people that pay and don't do it. But they're the nouveau rich, you know. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who, for the moment, have the money and didn't realize that they were going to be poor again because they're going to spend it all. But no, I said, Ellen, whenever anyone says we should pay, you say, when you're ready, don't say anything. Yeah. When you're ready to take the course and send us a check, you know what the cost is. We'll be happy to send you the materials. When you're ready to buy anything we have, we're happy to send it to you, but send a check or a credit card, and we'll make sure you get it right away. But otherwise, no. But. And then Ellen is to say to herself, there are no buts. And this is what you have to say to yourself. When people come to you and ask you because you have money and you have this and you have charity, I mean, they come to him all the time. Because he has all this nice home, he has the nice cars, he has the nice kids, he has the nice everything, and people think he's got lots of money. Whether he has or not is nobody's business. But people think he has it, and they're going to want him to give them some. And what he says to them is, I always pay my own way. I always pay my own way. I always pay for whatever I choose to have, and that's all. And let it go. Don't say one more word. Don't defend yourself for having your point of view. Just have it. And if people come to you, civil, and they say, you should pay, you should give them dinner, you should give them the courses, you should do this. I don't want a lot of people attending our seminars. I want people who want to hear what we have to say sincerely enough to pay that little bit. But that's not terribly much. Whatever you might charge them. And that's important. I don't mind coming as long as my expenses are paid. But if my expenses are not paid, I'm not going to go. Why should I take money out of my pocket to go help somebody who can't afford to do what they want to do? Yeah, you got to be a bit definite on that. And it's not unkind.
No, you have to have know when to say no. When I go home, they line up. You know, they don't come one or two, several. And they come and they demand money. And they demand it as if they gave it to you to keep. You know?
And all you say is, thank you for checking with me. Goodbye. Be courteous, because you are courtesy. You are not discourteous. You just say, no is not discourteous.
No
is just definite.
Yes.
And no reasons. The minute you start giving reasons for not helping, then they'll talk your head off if you let them.
And some come because you help somebody.
That's right.
Then they go and tell somebody. Then the person who had never known you before will come, you know, to beg for money.
Yeah. Well, like you would say, if I'm going to give any money away, it's going to be to my own people. If I'm going to, and maybe it's your own people who are begging.
But, not necessarily.
No, but if I'm going, just say, hey, if I'm going to give money away, I'm going to give it away to my own family.
Yeah.
End. But there shouldn't be any discussion.
No.
Because people will ask, and people will think that they deserve it.
And somebody comes and says, so they asked me to come for this operation. I've come so that you give me the money for the operation. You know?
And the answer is no.
I said, and you just came so that I give you the money for the operation. He says, yes. And this somebody I've never seen before, never known before. I don't know his family. Oh, they've told him that he needs an operation. So he come for me to give him the money. And there's no way of even knowing that he needs an operation.
Well, you know, okay, here I am in the UK, and I don't have my car, and I don't have anything. Now, you should come and chauffeur me around wherever I want to go.
Why not?
You should drive me everywhere, and you should pay as we go to Buckingham Palace, and you should pay as we go here and go there and eat in the fancy restaurants. You should pay because, you know, you're my chauffeur, and you got the car. You should do that. Now, shouldn't you do that?
I should.
Sure. Is he going to? Nope. But why not? Because it's none of his business. He is not my sugar daddy, you know. He is not the person that I'm going to be beholden to. And this is something that's important there. It is wise for us never to allow people to be beholden to us. If people bought the course at the inexpensive price 10 years, 12 years, 20 years ago, we're not going to let them continue the course at that price. They continue it at the current price. And I'll say to them, hey, you paid full price at that time. But that was a lot, not much money. You should have continued it. You should have done it then. But now you want to finish it. But now it's at the current price. And when you're ready to pay that, we're ready to help you. But Ellen is a big softie, you know. And people come and try to talk to her. And Ellen's husband always handled the money and did it very well, of course. And then when Ellen came and took over the books at the uni, she's a master. Why? Because she didn't know how to do it. She just followed the rules. Stefan had been a bookkeeper, and he showed her how, I showed her how, and she just... And then I said, well, Ellen, you're doing so many things here. You're so busy. We'll take the bookkeeping away and give it to someone else, you know, and you can do this. Oh, no. That's my fun. I do the bookkeeping in maybe one day a month, you know, because I just take everything, put it together. And she says, you know, I am never more than a penny off. And when I'm a penny off, I find where that penny is. She says, I am a bookkeeper, you know, par excellence. And she says, when that penny is missing, it's because something wasn't done right. And sometimes was reading a check, and she read the check like $12.01 or something like that, you know? And it was $12. That 1 cent wasn't supposed to be there. But she read it, and she never got the 1 cent. So that's why she was off. Of course, I told her, you know, if I were taking the books and I was having difficulty throwing a penny here or there, I would take the time to refigure it. She said, well, I do things perfect for me. And that's a beautiful way. Yeah. Yeah, we have the opportunity to live beautiful lives. We have the opportunity to live perfect in every way. We have the opportunity to have wholesome lives and good lives. But this is something that the Bible teaches, but people take it the wrong way. The Bible does not teach, be your brother's keeper.
Yes.
The Bible teaches, you are not your brother's keeper. You are not responsible. And the Bible says, let the dead bury the dead. Now, what did it mean by that? At that time, when somebody's going to die, the family all joined around and did nothing until the guy died. Sometimes it took a year. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow me. And now, wouldn't that be thought to be terrible? Oh, my goodness. Changing the Jewish laws. But can you imagine the Jewish religion being so many years old, and every year new rules were added to it, new laws were added to it according to the new people, and it just became terrible. Now, here in the United Kingdom, what have you got? You got your legislative bodies here with so many rules and regulations and laws that no matter what you do, you can find a law that says yes and a law that says no if you look hard enough, because it's there. And they find them. Of course, nowadays, that's going to be worse. Why? The computer. Everything is being, like in America, all the Library of Congress and everything is on computer. All on computer. You press a button for anything, pop, up it comes. Up it comes in every way that it's been used. You know, beautiful, amazing. And this is fantastic. I'm sure it's here too in Britain, you know. They have all these legislative rules on the computer so you can get to them. And that's amazing. That's really amazing. Now, are you responsible for the past?
No.
Yeah. Well, why do you look up things from the past? Why do you look up things from the past and then make judgments on the world based on it? That's what the law does.
I live in the present.
You live in the present. Well, if you truly, and this is important, if you truly live in the present, you will not have any memory of the past. You'll not have any thinking of the past. If you allow your mind to go back to the past for a flash, instantly you say, nope, that's not where I am. Nope, that's not where I am. But if you allow yourself to dwell in the past, like a lot of people do, and like news broadcasts do, I heard a statement, and it was about a person who was dealing with a news broadcast, and the statement was something to the effect that I am basing my actions on this news broadcast of what happened yesterday. And the person said, you cannot do that. You can only base your actions on what is happening today. Because today, all those things that were happening yesterday are out of line. They're no longer valid for making considerations. And this is so very important. And this is so very important for us. Living in the now. And living in the now and enjoying it in the now. So we're fantastic. were utterly fantastic. So, any other comments that we have? Or are we, did our wool gathering here a little bit and gathered together a few loose ends? And I'm happy we did. I'm happy we did. And I think you are too. Let's see what we're doing here time-wise. We're off and on in our links. Yeah. So. Okay. Then at 4 o'clock we have our next activity. And at 4 o'clock it is the third daily lecture. So if you would like to take 10-minute pause and relax and be ready for our next program, that's great. I love you.
Hello.